It's S-W-O-P-E-S. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you'll ever see is me be stressed.
How are you? How's it going? So sorry, it's been quite a bit since we've chatted last, and a lot has happened since then. I've gone to the Maldives with Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith, which was absolutely unbelievable, and I've had dinner with Kanye West, which was super interesting. But honestly, I'd have to say that the most important thing within most of these podcasts, and really what I want to try to do, is make sure that you all are, you know, getting an education that you need, whether it be for mental health, whether it be for your business, whether it be for your art, whatever it is. I just hope that you aren't ever feeling like you need to hear some kind of TMZ type of story about whatever I'm going through. So I think at this point in my career, and especially since my last podcast, I was chatting quite a bit about, you know, everything that had happened in the Maldives and stuff like that. But your girl got an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement, which means that I'm not really necessarily allowed to talk about any of that stuff. So, with that being said, this is why we're redoing the first initial part of the podcast, because just from my own experience and what I've been learning as an artist in this different type of community, is that you can't necessarily share every single experience you have. And sometimes what you experience is just for you and the people who are involved. So thank you all for showing interest, and thank you for anyone who has already heard the podcast and has it downloaded and is enjoying it already. You get to have a second podcast here where we are going to be talking about responding versus reacting. And then after that, we're going to have those two same topics we had in the deleted podcast about confidence and fear. So let's get into it. Think about anything that happens to you. Think about something that happens at work. Think about something that happens at home. Think about what happens with your family. Think about anything at all. And imagine yourself immediately reacting, okay? You're angry, you're frustrated, you're yelling. And you kind of eventually kind of make the situation a little worse. You're feeling insecure, you're feeling fearful, and you really haven't made anything better. And so I say that is reacting. Okay, now when you're responding and imagining any of this is happening, imagine that you are noticing your anger right away, okay, after whatever happens, and you sit back and you take a breath and you kind of think about, okay, what is it worth? And you're relaxing, you know, you're considering the outcome. So at this point, you're very reasonable, you're very compassionate, you're cooperating, and now you don't feel as regretful, okay? So that's the difference between reacting and responding, is that reacting is an initial upset, you know, of anger, outburst, but responding is taking a step back, thinking about what you want to do with it, having a little bit more control. So just quickly, I think we react mostly without thinking. You know, I think it's not so much about anything else. It's really just about our gut reaction and how we genuinely feel. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not asking you to be fake at all. I think you should always be real with how you're feeling. But you should also be real with allowing yourself space to think and be aware that this can happen anywhere, at any time, whatever you're doing with any person. And it's not so much always about who you are as a person. You don't have to connect to this type of reaction, because it's not your character. It is basically a habit that you've built for yourself on the way to handle certain situations. You can practice better responding. And the way you can practice better responding specifically is practicing mindfulness in every moment. You got to make sure that you're watching yourself, watching the way you think, watching the way you handle situations, and then knowing yourself through each situation. So if a situation is going to happen and you know you're probably mostly going to get upset, maybe you should just take a break, take a moment, think on it and realize that this is probably going to upset you, and think about all the other times you've gotten upset and what kind of outcome that got you, right? So maybe switch it up. Think about that. So the next most important thing with practicing responding is having self-control, pausing, breathing, taking a breathing moment in and out, not acting immediately, removing yourself from the situation, possibly just taking your person and just going to a different room can do so much. And once you've had that moment of self-reflection, and you're going to want to take a moment of consideration, consider what you're doing. Is it worth what you're fighting about? Is it worth what you think should happen? Is it worth reacting? Is it worth making it worse? And think about from a compassionate standpoint. Think about a long-term standpoint. Think about how you want to build the situation up instead of tearing someone or something down. Think about how you want to calm it. Think about how you can fix it instead of being so ego-driven and locked into this like winning mindset. You want to have a moment of where one person isn't going to always feel totally happy with the outcome. And within that accepting responding, you're going to want to take time within that consideration, most importantly. So this is where the time is going to allow you to lower your ego. It's going to allow you to lower your pride. And it's also going to allow you to see your triggers and really learn and analyze what happened, why it happened, pay attention to what happened so that the next time you can redo this all over again and you can be mindful in that moment. And then you can watch yourself and really know yourself so that each time any of these situations happen, which they're going to happen a lot, now you're teaching yourself how to respond better instead of reacting so habitually. It's really one of the best things I think that's really helped me considerably with situations like, you know, me having to take down my podcast or something. You know, it's like certain situations come up where it's not always going to be in your favor, but you can always have a control in where you can make it better than what it would have been if you reacted. I've noticed so many things in my life have become so less stressful, less drama filled, less chaotic. It just feels like responding has really allowed me not control over what happens to me, but control of how those things happen to me, how they affect me. So yeah, I hope that helps a little bit with just maybe your anger, maybe your anxiety, maybe a certain situation, maybe your confidence, maybe your fear specifically. Now, our next topic is confidence. Confidence is something that I still struggle with every now and then. I think confidence is really based on your mental and what you're really deciding for yourself. No one else is going to decide your confidence for you, and it is merely based on the fact that you are deciding it for yourself, right? So a few tips, I think, for myself specifically, as far as confidence goes, is one, have an imagination and have a visualization for yourself. You must use your imagination. If you don't have an imagination, I really can't imagine. I can't even imagine what it's not having an imagination, okay? I think every person has an imagination, so really connect with that and connect with the visions that you can use in your brain, and change your perspective. Change the way that you see things, but this is going to take time, okay? And you have to also think about, how do you see yourself? You have to imagine that you are better than the person you have negatively always thought you were, if that's your case. You know, you really have to genuinely say to yourself, you know, I am that person. I will be that person. And I'm so ready for that person. I'm excited to be that person. You know, like, say to yourself that you are going there, you know, and don't be so negative about your language. Language is so important and it's so valuable to everything that you do. So, think about not only your language, but the way you're seeing things in your mind, how you picture yourself and where you're going to be. So always have those visualizations and imaginations about who you wish to be and speak that out. Say that out loud. Write it down. Have goals. Have lists, okay? Now, you're also going to want to practice affirmations. Now, affirmations to me at first were very corny and very annoying. They weren't things that, I'll be honest with you, not every affirmation is for everyone. Like, people think, oh yes, this is have all the same affirmations. No. Some affirmations you'll look at and you'll be like, that's just not for me. And other people have different circumstances and different experiences they have to connect to. And you have to think about what your affirmation is personally. So that's why it matters to, daily, you know, think about what you want. Think about your goals. Think about the things that you need for yourself. Think about the things that you feel bad about, and then whatever the opposite of that is, say that to yourself consistently, okay? And so you got to practice positivity. Practicing positivity is a consistent thing. It's not just like, hey, I'm positive all of a sudden. It's going to be positive forever. Like, no, I'm not positive all the time, and people think I am. Some days I feel like crap. Like, some days I feel like I don't believe anything I'm even saying, you know, but I do it anyway because that's just life and I have to continue and go on because what else is there to do? Fuck it, right? And then just like say those affirmations out loud, say them with your mouth, read them, and then also write them, because when you read out loud and you read them in your head and you write them, it makes it somehow stick with you. And it's a really, really wonderful thing to do. And it trains your brain to just think differently and to be different, because you can train your brain. Your brain is a muscle just like anything else. I've been working out for 9 months now, 10 months, maybe 11, going on 11. And I'm telling you, I feel the difference. I see the difference. And if my brain is anything like my arm, bro, I can get it. No, but I'm serious though. I think my brain honestly was more worked out before my muscles were. So I'll be honest with you. I mean, you can genuinely change your mindset so much quicker than you can your muscles and your abs. So have that as motivation. So also do what scares you, okay? This is how you're going to build confidence. Everyone, like I said, is afraid of everything. But we just keep going. I'm afraid of everything too. You don't think I'm freaking the F out every time I do a talk? I've done a TED talk. I've done so many Apple talks. I've done all types of talks. I just did a Chicago Ideas talk after David Lynch. David Lynch created Twin Peaks. He's a legend. And I'm sitting here about to like go on after him. Okay. I freaked out. I was scared, but it was great. People loved it. I'm so glad. Oh my God. You know, but like I had to like enjoy that moment, you know, and that's the moments you like thrive in. But then there's still moments after that where like I'm doubting the next project I'm doing. You're never not gonna be like this perfect, you know, like thing. You just really just have to keep going and experience each situation as it comes, because that's life. You know, it's never gonna be perfect and it's never gonna be super self-esteem based, and it's never going to be fearless. You know, you really just have to show up and decide what the hell you want from that moment. You know what I'm saying? So everyone's afraid, and it isn't about winning. It's genuinely confidence, and doing what scares you is not about winning. It's genuinely about seeing that it's not as bad as you thought it was, because you start realizing that your mind is really not to be trusted all the time. I think that's the coolest thing about confidence into breaking your fears, is realizing that your mind really isn't as trustworthy as you always thought it was. And so now you got to question it sometimes when you're actually going forward with something, okay? So that's what brings me into my next point, is that you have to be mindful, okay? Know yourself, know your weaknesses, know your fears, know how you think and why you think that way. Be honest with yourself and don't play games, you know, like really be genuine and know and separate your real self. And I know this is an interesting concept because I spoke about this a lot of times actually, but separating your real self
from your mind self, okay, is a real thing. Now, if your real self is someone who is always knowing yourself, loves yourself, started from nothing, no judgment, no negativity, all positive, you will do whatever you want to do because you love yourself and you trust yourself, right? But the mind in the negative is what needs to be separated from that real self. That's not really you, all that negative talk and all that nonsense, because your brain is really just a problem solver, okay? And your brain, just like any other muscle, like your heart and your lungs and stuff, is a thing that does something for you. So your brain is here to protect you. It's here to problem solve. It's here to freak you out when you need to be freaked out. It's here, you know, like to make you fear something when you should be, maybe, but sometimes it doesn't work. So that's why we need to make sure that not every problem that our brain is trying to solve is right, and not every fear that our brain is trying to have is correct, okay? So within that, you have to realize that within confidence, doing what scares you is really about seeing that life is really not that hard and not that scary. So keep going, okay? So being mindful, knowing yourself, knowing how you think, and separating yourself from that. And being aware in that moment every time. Presence is everything. Being present in the moment is a present. Because the more present you are, the better you can be aware of what's happening and you can associate and respond to it. It's not about reacting to things either. Reaction is about, you know, letting things affect you. Responding is when you can think it through and continue. Now, another way to build your confidence is to set smaller goals, okay? So maybe think about, maybe some of your goals are actually maybe a little too big, and that's why you're just a little down, is because the things that you're trying to accomplish just really can't be done all the time. So think about maybe breaking down that larger goal into smaller sets. And those smaller sets, the more you cross those off, the greater your momentum and your confidence is going to be, okay? So do a to-do list, and I like to not call it a to-do list, but I like to call it a did-it list, okay? Because when you look at your did-it list, you're going to think about, okay, wow, I did all these things, and I get to cross them all off. And that's my favorite part about looking back at my entire, like, to-do list every day, or my did-it list, is that, like, I love looking that I crossed all these things off, and I did all these little things. And so simplify yourself and your day. Simplify the things you have to do. Don't overthink. Don't overdo. Change your habits a little bit. Practice smaller situations. Maybe check your email. Maybe take a shower, you know. Maybe clean your room. Maybe clean your apartment. You know, just little things where you really feel you're setting the tone where you can accomplish something to make you feel more, you know, feel better. Give that momentum. It's all about, I really genuinely think that, like, inspiration is fleeting. We shouldn't rely on inspiration. We shouldn't rely on motivation. We should really rely on consistency through momentum. And the momentum is where we make sure that we're getting shit done. You just have to make sure that you're holding yourself accountable, okay? And don't rely on anything outside of yourself. And so with that, setting small goals, making better habits are gonna make you feel a little better. Maybe waking up 30 minutes earlier is a better, smaller goal, right? And eating a healthier breakfast or something like that. I mean, it's really just these really smaller little baby steps here and there that are really going to get you to the place you want to be. Because when I first started working out, honestly, I was doing like high interval training type stuff. And I remember thinking, I was like, I really want to change the way I work out. I know I'm not going to be able to like do crazy stuff, and I'm going to just start baby steps every day. And so that's what I did. I feel like now I work out 4 days a week with a trainer. I lift. I just had my personal record, my PR of 155. So I can lift a 155 person. Let's go. Or a rock, whatever you want to choose. But yeah. So think about your did it list. Think about something, the little things you want to cross off every day. I feel like everything that you do should be accounted for. It's not like have a list. If you have a to-do list and you have like homework and stuff, like also put on your to-do list, went to class, took a shower, ate breakfast, like checked email. Like those are also really fucking cool things to put down that you did. Don't
minimize the awesome little things you do every day because they do take time. If you really sat down and wrote out your day hour by hour, minute by minute, you would see that you were really a busy person who was doing stuff, okay? So make sure that you're giving yourself credit, okay? So it's a very important thing. Now, the next thing about building confidence is making sure that you're helping others and teaching something that you know, teaching a craft. This is really going to give you a purpose and a meaning. The biggest reason why a lot of people have a lot of issues existing in the world is because they have no purpose. They have no drive. They have no meaning. What's the purpose of living if you have no purpose, right? So I think the hardest thing is to give yourself a reason why you're here on this earth. And to do that, you have to decide what drives you, what makes you feel whole, what makes you like doing what you do, what are you good at, right? So think about what are you good at that you can help others with. It's not about what's cool, what's not, whatever. You want to be cool on Instagram, you want to have a lot of followers. No, fuck that, because that's not your shit. People make billions of dollars making a screw for a remote or making freaking gelatin for like gummy bears or whatever, which is horrible. Don't eat gelatin. It's disgusting and nasty, but it's a $1 billion business. Gross. Anyway, but like I'm saying, like that's what people do though. Like little things here and there that just create bigger, greater things that are in everyday life. And so we have to consider these things is that you're not here to be a fucking famous person. You're here to be a person who loves what they do and loves every day when they wake up and feels at peace in their heart because they're doing something for themselves and their family. And you're just existing and surviving because that's life. You're here to survive. That's it. That's our main purpose. That's our drive. That's our existence is to survive, you know? So think about that. Think about what you're helping others and what you're teaching others and what your purpose is between that. I mean, that's going to build your self-esteem. It's going to make you sure of yourself. It's going to make you feel like you have something that you're delivering to existence. Because if you're not delivering anything, you don't feel whole. And I'm telling you that there's an emptiness in a something missing where you're not giving back and helping others. So make sure that you're filling that within yourself, okay? And it's not about being like, oh, I'm so grateful because I saw so many people who were worse off than me. Like, no, it's not about that. It's not about thinking about that you're better or you're worse or whatever. It's about really genuinely giving yourself the meaning to inspire others because we're not here to be people who are blabbering on about something to someone because they're not, you know, they're not going to listen to that. We want to be examples. You want to be an example to people because that's the greatest inspiration and change you can make, right? Now, self-care also, which is going to build confidence. Self-care is anything but selfish. Taking a nap when you need to, resting up, going home, taking a shower, you know, drinking, eating well. Those things are not selfish because the more you better yourself, the better you treat others. And it's a really genuine statement. So I really think that being in good physical, emotional, mental, social states is very important. That's to say, you know, work out when you can. You don't need to be out here lifting 155 like a girl, but just feel something. Feel whatever you need to feel and sweat a little bit on your head. Just get a little motion flowing, stretch, you know, in a routine that you have in the daily. And then your emotional health. Make sure that you're practicing, you know, the way that you're handling situations, practicing the way that you are responding to things, right? And think about your mental health. You know, are you really just being mindful and aware of what's going on with yourself? And your social health. This is apologizing where you should. Being present where you should. Holding yourself accountable where you should. And so just, you know, these things might get us down every now and then if we don't show up and show out, but just show up and show out and you don't need to be down. Now, listen to what you want and what you need, okay? That's what the biggest thing about self-care is that we don't need to always show up and show out. Because if you don't feel like it, you don't need to do it, right? So that's the biggest thing about what you feel is that listening to what you want and what you need, but making sure that you communicate with other people about it. So that's what separates someone who is in good physical, emotional, mental, and social health is that it's someone who's going to tell everybody how they feel before they really fucking feel it. So make sure that you are communicating your situations and your feelings and whatever you're going through, so that, you know, you have more control of what's happening around you, and then that, you know, you can listen to what that is, and that you can respond to that and do something about it. So showers are great. Just getting in some water will reset you somehow. There is a meaning behind being dunked in some water. You know, they say with religion, you get this little baptism and stuff. Like, baptism isn't, like, it's not that far off from the scientific fact that people just feel better being in water. Like, just dip yourself in some fucking water and you feel good. I keep saying fucking a lot. I'm so sorry if you guys don't like cursing. I apologize, but I'm in one of those moods, I think, here. Confidence is key. And also, smile more. Smiling is really, really helpful for things, and people will hear your smile through sounds. I just did a recording for Alexa Skill with Adobe. You should look it up, by the way. I'm gonna post about it soon. But it is an Adobe inspiration engine, and I did the talk for it, and I remember doing the recording, and they were like, "We love that we can hear you smiling." I think that's so fun, because I remember there was a few times listening to a few Travis Scott tracks, and I'd be like, I can hear Travis smiling in the studio, and it's so fucking lit, and I feel that shit, and it's so dope. I love it. I just love hearing a smile. I think it's the coolest thing. And you can really spread energy with that. I think it's something to be said about the energy of something, the energy of things that you experience, and it's amazing. So also, within growing confidence is being able to say no. The more you say no, the better confidence you will have. Create personal boundaries for yourself, you know, set a moral standard of what you want for yourself and what you want for your future and what you just need, you know, and be assertive. And also with that is asking for help when you need it. Don't be ashamed. Asking for help, I think, is anything but weak. It is it's an extremely strong trait. And I think it allows us to be more control of our life, because we're not going to be great at absolutely everything we do. We should absolutely be more open to asking for help, because I think that makes us stronger human beings. Now, last but not least within gaining confidence, I think, is to spoil yourself every now and then. I think doing what you love and making sure that you're going for that and not caring what anybody else thinks is one of the biggest confidence builders. It might be a struggle. It might be embarrassing. It might be whatever you think it might be at the moment. But the more you go for it and the more you push yourself out of your comfort zone, the more comfortable you will be with it. And I promise you that. So listen to your heart. Listen to your gut. And don't ever hold yourself back from whatever absolutely you want. Now, the concept of fear coincides with confidence quite literally. And I do believe that the more fear we feel, the more we should feel it and do it anyway. And I do think that, very specifically, and I'm just going to roll right into it, I think that with fear, we should always make it our friend. Because the thing about fear is that it's never going to go away. We should invite fear to our life. We should allow it to help us grow. We should allow it to help us move forward, and we should always breathe through it. And we should also make sure that we're realizing that it's, like I said, impossible to get rid of. Every single human has fear, and it is a nervous system emotion, okay? It's not something you can be like, oh, I have no fear. No, every person who says they have no fear has it, but they do it anyway. And they pretend like they don't have it, but it's a different feeling that they associate it with it. So the thing about words is that we can't always suggest that just because someone says something, it means the same thing you think it means. It's that people can decide whatever they want anything to mean by whatever they want it to say. So just understand that. So everyone has fear. Accept that. And to also understand that you need to make fear your friend, because it's going to assist you on a lot of great things. So if you're asking, am I good at this? Am I the best at this? Are you sure? Can I do this? Am I the best? You know, if you're asking that, You're far beyond even the person who's going up to everyone saying they are. Because I'm telling you, most people who aren't necessarily ready and the people who are really pump faking are the ones who are the ones saying, I'm really great at this. I'm not afraid. I've got this. I'm so perfect. You know, like, nobody says that who's authentic, because from my perspective, even when I've done everything I've ever done, I'm still terrified. And I think even the most, like, talented people I've ever even met, I've heard the same from them too. And I genuinely believe that if you are asking if you're good enough, you are good enough. And I promise you that. So think about that. You know, if you're asking, you can. You can, and you are. Okay. And also, use your fear as a sign. Think of it as the next step to the next level of your growth, of what you want to do. Think about the concept of all of your fears becoming almost like a wall and a barrier to what you want to do next. If whatever you're fearing is in the way of what you're trying to do, you'll never be able to do it because that's always in the way, you know? So think about that, is that what you are afraid of is really something that you should go for and accomplish, because that's the thing that's going to get you to what's behind it. And so if that's going to be this amazing, you know, challenge, and it might be cool, and it's going to be a story, like, why not go for it? It's kind of, sounds exciting to me. And I think that's where I've practiced my mental, and I've practiced myself into that thinking, because I wasn't always this way. I promise you that. I was very afraid early on, but I got to a point where I really pushed myself to a point where I'm like, I can do anything I want, because it's not about winning and losing. It's really just about experience. So using your fear as a sign about what's your next step, what's the next level of growth. So whatever that is, do it, right? And it gives you more appreciation of where you're at and what you want to do. And it's really a really great wake-up sign. So also stop just perceiving what fear is and just do what you need to do. Stop thinking about it. Stop, you know, just let yourself be. It's not about what could, it's about what is, if that makes sense. And play the game, make it a challenge, have fun, and just realize that if you need help, you can always ask for it, because that's one of the best things about the life that we have, is that we are not always great at everything, but we can still ask anyone we know and everyone on the internet, or whoever, whatever, Twitter, anything, for help, because people are always there and willing to assist. Also, like I said earlier on, fear never ends, no matter what level you're at. You really got to be driven by ambition, which is just the need to have what you want. You got to really think about what you love and what you need in your life and what makes you happy, and realize that the more success you have is maybe even the more fear you might have, because the more you gain is really the more you lose. And you really have to decide for yourself if what you're doing is going to be worth it in the long run. Now, I think the most important thing about fear is understanding how fear works. Okay. So fear is pretty complex, but it's pretty straightforward. You really have to think about fear in the physical, emotional, and mental state. Now, it's physically going to make you feel a little shaky, a little weird. You have to really think about yourself and how you handle fear, because some people handle it all differently. And how are you emotionally handling fear? How does your brain react to that? How does your mental handle that, right? And how do you tell people about your fear? How do you talk about it? How do you think about it? How do you, you know, you really have to conceptualize all of that to be able to understand how your fear works, because once it happens, then you can be there for it and you can say, hey, that's just that working how it is. That's me. That's how I am. It's fine, right? And that's something I practiced for 2.5 years now, 3 years almost, where I've come to a point where I've realized that, like, I've seen the way that I can be. And so then I accept that and see it. And then it allows me to work on it. It allows me to find the cause for it. It allows me to be present for it. It allows me to see the past with it. It allows me to see the future with it. And I think that's something so extremely powerful, the fear. It's a huge thing. To understand how fear works is to really understand yourself. and to understand each moment when you have that. And it's really accomplishing that fear when you get it. When you understand it, you get it and you accomplish it. All right, well, I've been dilly-dallying for about 50 minutes now. Thank you again so much for listening to me. I appreciate you always, and I really hope you enjoyed every minute of this, and I am excited about the next. Take care and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of October.